For years, the Henry Hudson Hotel offered affordable housing for working-class people in Manhattan. It was one of dozens of residential hotels in the city where guests paid by the week but often stayed for years. That was before the hip developer, Ian Schrager, bought the Henry Hudson in 1997 and renamed it the Hudson. The old-time guests still live there, but their surroundings have taken a dramatic turn. Annie Cheney has this report.
The Hudson Hotel on West 57th Street was originally built as a club for professional women. When that idea didn't take, it was used to house Navy officials during the Second World War and later was converted into a moderately priced residential hotel for men and women. The years took their toll on the building, and by the 1970s, it was pretty seedy. Tom Pavese moved in 1971, just before he started driving a cab.
57th Street was noted for hookerville. I mean, you just stood outside your hotel door, you knew every one of them. The pimps lived in the hotel. They figured it'd be easier.
It was also home to many other people who were barely eking out a living. Some were artists or aspiring actors. Others moved in after losing their jobs, thinking they'd stay for a week, but then they never left.
Everybody used to congregate, like a little family in the lobby, and talk. Cab drivers, we had a few cab drivers, performers.
Today, the Hudson Lobby is the last place you'd find a bunch of cab drivers palling around. With its candlelight, dark wood floors, and sleek cocktail bar, the new lobby is a surreal combination of Zen Buddhist temple and New York nightclub. Workers dressed in black uniforms resembling Mao suits scurry among the guests, who seem to be all under 40, clad in Prada, and talking on cell phones. Many of them, like Jennifer Stringfellow, stay at the Hudson just to be part of the aesthetic experience.
And I think of it like a Japanese home, that everything is where it should be. All the cabinets open and you pull out a TV and the beds are low but very comfortable, and the textures of the elevator are interesting.
The decor isn't the only attraction at the Hudson. Guests pay up to $500 a night for a room in the hopes they'll catch a glimpse of celebrities like Jennifer Lopez and Mariah Carey. It's a far cry from the old days, when the only performers you'd bump into in the lobby were either B actors or strippers from Times Square. Not surprisingly, when they first heard about the plans for the swank new hotel, the permanent tenants thought they were going to get a pretty good deal. Owen Lamb has lived at the hotel since 1978.
I was thinking that now I was going to live where all this, where Showtime was essentially. What was better than that? You know, I thought I was kind of lucky.
But that's not exactly how it's turned out. Almost as soon as renovations began on the hotel, the permanent tenants were shut out. They were forced to use a separate entrance from the tourists, and Schrager built them a strikingly stark, tiny lobby where he installed a special elevator, which is programmed to pass right by the fancy tourist floors. Many of the residents haven't even been inside the new tourist lobby since it opened in October. And those who tried, like Joe Carfagna, found that getting in through the front door was much harder than it looked.
This guy approached me as I'm walking up. Now, he didn't know me, and I didn't know him. And I was dressed, you know, I think I even might have had a suit or a tie on, you know. And he said, sir, are you staying in the hotel? And I said, yes, I am. May I see your key? And I said, well, what do you need to see my key for? I'm staying, this is a public hotel, isn't it?
Carfagna gave in and showed the guy the well-worn metal key that he's used for 20 years to get in and out of his room. That's when the bellman figured out who he was. Guests like Jennifer Stringfellow use modern plastic credit card type keys.
He says, well, you're a permanent resident. I said, yes, I am. He said, well, you're not supposed to use this entrance. And I said, are you discriminating against me? I said, what if I was coming in here to go have a cup of coffee in the restaurant? How do you know where I'm going? I said, that's public area. He said, well, are you? And I said, I might.
Hotel spokesperson Holly Taylor says the managers have accommodated the tenants in every way they can. And after all, they have let them stay in the hotel. But the tenants claim they're being treated like second-class citizens. Some say they've even been turned away at the hotel restaurant. As they should have been, says this bellman. He says they don't belong there, and they should be happy with what they've got.
We supply them their own entrance, mailboxes, an elevator for them. I guess they won't even notice that they are here, no? Which is perfect.
And in fact, Jennifer Stringfellow had no idea about the permanent tenants.
I did not know that. I mean, who are they?
It's as if they're invisible. Relics from an earlier time in New York's history when it was still possible for working class people to live in the heart of Midtown Manhattan. Even the employees at the Hudson Hotel, like this young bellman, don't seem to know much about the permanent tenants.
I've only really encountered one. I was waiting by the elevators, and he came over and started talking to me. He started talking to me about how, you know, this is very odd and how he tries to, you know, keep by the rules and stay to that side and, you know, and use that the other entrance to the right. I had to go do something, so I just kind of was like, okay, and I kind of just got off the elevator and went on my way.
Encountering someone from the other side of the hotel can be especially embarrassing for the tenants. Tom Pavese remembers getting stuck in the elevator one night between floors that were off limits. In order to escape, he and a friend jumped down to the second floor, where an exclusive party was just getting underway.
And the place became dead silent. And I looked around, and I said, excuse me, we just dropped that out of space. I'm from Neptune, and this is my cousin from Uranus. And you should have seen the looks on their face, like, where did these two, whatever they are, come from?
Pavese says he's often thought about moving out of the Hudson since Schrager took over, but he'd be hard-pressed to find another studio apartment in Manhattan for $400 a month. If it ever did get too much for him, he says, he'd probably pack it in and move upstate. For NPR News, I'm Annie Cheney in New York.